and all that stuff. Well, then that happens, and $5,500 at the least to delete it. Nobody can delete it that he could come up with. You know, I mean, he wasn't going to little mechanics. I mean, he went to professionals and different things like that. Well, then that could happen. Then he took it to another place, and they said, what was it there, $8,000 to $10,000? They said it needed a sensor, and it needed a fuel injector, and this, that, and another. And Scotty gets up there, and they ain't even took it apart. That would have not have fixed it. We could have spent $10,000 to do the part. They even charged him for a restocking fee of parts. Now, I'm trying to make a long story short here. So lo and behold, nobody can fix this tractor. So he comes across this one guy that he deletes some of his stuff. So he took it home with, took it over there to his house and everything. You know, he said, I've never found a tractor I couldn't. So we're like, whew, good. You know, hopefully this will be like the rest of them. Well, while it's over there, one day I'm praying for Scotty. And listen, I'm telling you this for a reason too. Pay attention to what you get that is not words. God don't always speak in what seems like an audible voice. A lot of times things comes to me that when it comes, it's almost like an impression is the best way I can describe it. I'm praying for him, you know, and all of a sudden, this Holy Ghost laughter right down in here. I start laughing and laughing and laughing. I'm praying in tongues for him. And while I'm laughing and everything, all of a sudden this impression comes to me like an interpretation. And this is what I get out of it. This tractor problem is over. I thought, glory to God, this guy's going to be the one to fix it. Nah. I call Scotty, and God uses me quite often with Scotty like this. He had a truck back here one time on that cement trying to fix it before this was ever a church, and problem after problem, and God spoke the same thing to me, and sure enough, that was the end of it. Well, I call him, I tell him, glory to God, you know, and he's thinking, well, this is probably going, no. Right after that, the guy calls him and tells him, look, you're going to have to come get it. I can't do it. He's never come across one that he couldn't do. He said, I can't do it. Now, he did get it cranked when nobody else could, but that was as far as he could go. So Scotty goes and gets it, brings it back to the house, you know, and that's it. So then it makes me start questioning, God, I was almost positive that was you. Now, see, I didn't hear, thus saith the Lord, but it was this impression is the best way I can describe it. But because of circumstances, then I told Scotty, I said, well, I don't know. I thought it was the Lord. You know, I was pretty sure, but it's looking like evidently it's not, because he said the problem was over. So then Scotty gets up there and he starts looking at it. Now, me and Scotty are different, and probably everybody is. Usually with me, when God is something, I start laughing or I have joy on the inside. But you got to remember, that's one of the things I was looking for when I got saved. Scotty was looking for a good life and peace. Because he lived with me, unsaved. But anyway, he goes up there and starts looking at it. And a lot of times, when it's the Spirit of God, what he describes as in here, he feels like easy off oven cleaner. You know, you spray that stuff, your oven's all cruddy, and you spray that on, it starts. That's the way he describes the Spirit of God to him. Now, yours may be different. But anyway, he's up there and he's looking at the tractor. And he said, and all of a sudden, I had this on the inside, easy off oven cleaner. And I thought, hey, this is not me. There's something about this. Look at this a little further. Well, lo and behold, he does, you know. And then he has this thought. Don't always think thoughts are just you. You understand, he lives in here. And a lot of times, things will come up to you as a thought or as an impression. Why? Because he's in there. So he has this thought, look at this, he looks at that, you know, and traces this wire down, blah, blah, blah. To make a long story short, y'all know the story. He was able to fix it. It has no computer on it. What is that stuff you took out of the muffler thing? I forget. Yeah, took the cat out. Everything is off of that tractor. And so he spends $20 on, what is that thing, the gas for a lawnmower thing or whatever? Yeah. Puts that on there to make it where he can work the gas while he's sitting on it. Because all of it was computer. Travis, I heard him yesterday. He had used a little. He got off of it, and I heard him tell Scotty. He said, man, that thing's like a dream, ain't it? That tractor's only 5 years old. It's a 2017, got very low hours on it. It's four-wheel drive. To make a long story short, God just rebuked the devourer that came to eat up everything that we had saved. But God says, nope, you can't do that. Why? I've got record of them here and here and here and here. And God said to the tither, he will rebuke the devourer, right? And he did. I mean, because their $10,000 of parts would have not have fixed it then. We could have probably spent endless accounts of money on that thing. And God says, you don't have to. And then I told Monty this morning, I said, don't judge anything before it's time. And that story is the very reason why I told him that. Why? Because when the guy called and said, I can't do it, it caused me to start questioning. Did I really? Because see, it wasn't words. It was an impression in the spirit. And I'm like, God, did I misinterpret that? You know, did I somehow or another, you know? And because it started looking, excuse me, well, lo and behold, it was God. Why? Because after time, it's proved out, tractor's fine. There's no computer on it. There's none of that other junk. It's just like a old-time tractor now. But God says, if you'll be faithful, do you understand? That's the qualifier. And see, just giving tithe every now and then. There's people, they don't even come to church if they submit their tithe that week. Now, that's getting a little bad. You made one mistake. Let's don't make another one. Seriously? God understands, and he will forgive. And do you understand? Everything we do, we're growing into. But we're supposed to be growing. We're supposed to be learning, right? We're supposed to be going from faith to faith and glory to glory and all that. But he says, if you're faithful in the little, if I can't tithe $10, you'll hear this, then how could I tithe on $1,000? But people think if I had $1,000, I would tithe. Listen, either we're true or the Word is true, and I pick the Word. Why? Because he knows the heart. It's not about the $10. It's not about the tithe on the $1,000. It's all about the heart. And if you're faithful to tithe that $10, he's faithful to do what he has promised, and you will increase. Why? Because he says faithfulness is the qualifier. That whole story there, that is the main thing and the things we're going to look at this morning again and again and again. But see, people think if they had big, they would obey God. No. If you can't obey God with the little thing, he says there that he give his household steward some, why? To see what he would do with it. Like I brought up last week about sweeping off the porch or whatever. No, ain't none of that happened. That's just an example. See, when somebody over you or God himself tells you to do something, don't let your thinking get in the way. It'll get you in trouble. Like I told Zach, you know, I'm not over the sound booth or anything, but me and him having a conversation one day, I felt like the Lord wanted me to. And I told him, I said, back here, I said, Beth is like a foreman. Why? Because he's come in under Beth. I said, back here, Beth is like a foreman. I said, what that means is, I said, do you understand what I mean by foreman? He said, manager? I said, yeah, like a manager, but I would call it a foreman. I said, what that means is Beth gets orders and she gives orders, but Beth don't change orders. That's one thing about Beth, like I said last week, you will never find, or I haven't found, a more faithful follower, ever. She don't let her head get in the way. She don't think something is better than the way Scotty said it or anything like that. I'm telling you. And this is a key. So I told him, I said, listen, I said, Beth won't change anything. I said, so there's no point in you bringing anything up to Beth if you feel that you get something or whatever. I said, Scotty would be the one to bring it up to. Why? Beth can't change nothing. Beth won't change nothing. And I told him, I said, and Sunday morning is probably not going to be the best time for you to do that. I said, because he's probably not going to listen. How many knows we don't need to get here at 9:30 and start changing stuff? But anyway, but I did tell him, I said, now if you feel like you get something from the Lord that would enhance this part of the ministry or something like that, I said, by all means, go tell Scotty. Ask you. I said, he might come over here on a Saturday and sit down with you and let you go over it and y'all work on it or something like that. Why am I saying all that? Because Zach is 17 years old. We don't need to start training him when he's 35. He's been in training, supposed to have been all this time. And the thing about it is, evidently he was faithful with the slides. So there's some people that can't be faithful with the slides. You know why? They don't think it's important. They don't see the need for it. Did anybody ask you to see the need for it? Boy, are we really going to get it now? No. See, I don't know about y'all, but my mama, when I was at home, I said, can I go do so-and-so, you know, whatever, so-and-so's getting to go and all that. No. Well, why not? So-and-so's getting to go. I don't care. It's because I said. Did y'all ever get that, or was I the only one? What's that mean? Shut up and do what I told you to, because that's all you're going to get. Do you understand? Sometimes that's all God will give you. What do you think walking and living by faith is? You get a word. You get an impression. You get a leading. And when you make that step, then you'll get another one. And when you make that one, then you'll get another one. And then 10 years down the road, you're like, oh, I see. I'm serious. Been there, done that. I couldn't see it. Why? Because God is always going to require faith. And if you're going to get more, you must be faithful with the little. Y'all have heard the story. Scotty's, this is going totally different than I thought, but hey, it's not my, I just work here. Anyway, y'all remember the story? I've told it before. Scotty's first job in our church, and I don't know how long we've been saved, probably not very long, but there was a guy, we had slides like that over there like we used to do here. There was a guy that they had over that. Well, I don't know if he laid out a lot or what the deal was, but I know he wasn't there one morning, and they came and they asked Scotty to. Scotty don't know nothing. Scotty don't know nothing about running no slides. Scotty don't know much about Jesus other than we saved now. I mean, that's about it. So they didn't ask him because he knew all about the slides, Johnny, and when slides was created and all of this. No. Scotty was just there. So they come and they ask Scotty to do the slides. Oh, he's so excited. Because he just loves Jesus and wants to be used. Glory to God. So he gets up there and he starts doing the slides. Well, lo and behold, the next week, the guy that used to do the slides came. And it wasn't good. That's my job. Well, now, who gave you the job and why did you not do the job? Because if you was in the place doing the job, couldn't be nobody else in your spot. See, we don't like that stuff. We don't like that stuff. Yeah, well, I had this problem. Well, yeah, well, we don't care. We got to have the slides up. Well, I couldn't be here because of this. We don't care. We got to have the slides up. Why? Because somebody's coming and we want these slides. It don't matter if you think the slides are needful. Wade and the praise team and brother, they want the slides. So somebody better get to doing the slides, and they better do them every time. Well, that was Scotty's first job. Well, Brother Brad, in case y'all ain't noticed, he always likes to be down there. Now, every now and then at our church, he would be up here, but most time they had a little pulpit kind of like this when it was set off over to the side, and we sat on the front on that side of the room. Well, Brother Brad would get him down and go over there and get it. Well, he only did that a time or two. Scotty would see his foot hit that first step, and he's jumped up over there, and he's getting that podium, and he's got it right over here. Nobody told him to. He didn't even ask if it was okay. See, the way he loves him and is faithful made him want to go get that podium and bring it over there to him. And that is something I'm way too ahead of myself, because in the 10 wise virgins and the 5 wise and the 5 foolish, the thing that made the difference in them was the extra oil. Faithful people do extra. They go the extra mile. See, they was all virgins. They all had oil. But somebody in that parable only did the bare minimum. See, we have Christians today, they only will do the bare minimum. But then we have those, they go the extra mile. They read more than their chapter a day. They don't just read the Word, they study the Word. They don't just fast from breakfast. They may fast long. Do you understand what I'm saying? They have put more into their relationship with God. And guess what? Those people, in the end, will get more back in this life and in the life that's here to come. But he says the faithful is the qualifier. I mean, we've heard it over the years, you know. Y'all have heard some of the stories, and I'm not going to go into them. But there's people, you know, well, if you would give my cousin a job in the church, you know, that would make them come to church more often. No, it won't. Been there, done that. Now, my office does help me. Why? Because I know I can't just be laying out. I'm put here. And now sometimes I have felt before so bad, like I couldn't come or couldn't do or whatever. But I would ask the Lord to help me. And so, I mean, that does help you in a way. But if faithfulness is not in your heart, just having a job or a responsibility ain't going to make you faithful. These men got 10 kids and they don't pay child support for none of them. I don't know what that was about, but anyway, if it's your kids, get to taking care of them. But he says there that faithfulness is the qualifier. Now, we read the scriptures. Go ahead and put them up, Zach. We won't turn to them. Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. He says, there is that scattereth, that's us, and yet increases. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet. You could put that on giving to people. You could put that on paying people what you owe. You could put that on tithing. Couldn't he? It says, withholdeth more than is meet, or in other words, more than is right. But it tendeth to what? You better pay attention to the scripture if you're going to be rich. He says, the liberal, I believe it's the Amplified Bible, says, the generous soul shall be made fat. That don't mean physically fat, even though if you got some money and can eat more, you might be fatter. And he that watereth shall be watered. Now put up Proverbs 20, verse 6. It says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. That's the wrong thing to do. The Bible says, let another man's lips praise you. You're the wrong one to ask if you're good or not, if we want the right answer. He says, but a faithful man who can find. That tells me faithful people are rare. But we all like to think we're the one, don't we? Thank you, Monty. He's the only one said, yep, real low. He said it real low there. So we read over there in Luke 18. Put up verse 8, Zach, of that. We're not going to take the time. We read it last week. We'll just read the last one of it. He says, I tell you, after all this, Jesus talking, he says, I tell you that he will, Jesus coming, the judge, avenge them speedily. He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? This verse tells me it's what Jesus is looking for when he comes. Does he have people that are faithfully trusting in him and trusting in his word and trusting in his goodness and his promises and everything that he said? And not only that, he needs people he can trust. Why? Just like the story y'all heard it about Scotty going on the street. He was not God's first pick. I don't know how many people God might have had to get through before he finally got somebody that would trust him and obey him. Scotty didn't know how to do that. Y'all have heard the story. We had never known anybody that had a street ministry or anything like that. And God didn't tell him a paragraph before he went out there of how to do everything. Why? That wouldn't be walking by faith. All he got was, go on the street. Preach the gospel. Well, he's out there getting things ready, and here comes this guy. He says, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm getting ready to go and preach on the street out here. He said, God told me to do that. Scotty told him, well, man, just repent, you know, and move on or whatever. Why? Because now it's too late. God gave you, now I don't know why, maybe it was fear, maybe he felt like it wasn't needful, maybe he felt like he didn't qualify. How many knows none of that matters? God's not asking me to qualify. God's not asking me to use my own money. Whatever God tells me to do, if it's strength, he will supply it for me. If it's knowledge, he will supply it for me. If it's finances, he will supply it. He's obligated. He would be unjust if he told me to do something and didn't give me everything I needed to get the job done. So I don't know why the guy didn't, but God moved on from him and picked somebody else and just happened to find somebody that's willing and ready. They don't know nothing, but they go, and they get the job done. That's all God's looking for, just people that will trust him and be faithful. Now let's look at, I wrote this down. God, I may have read it last week, but I've said God has big plans for us to rule and reign with him. We know that according to the scripture, right? He says, but we must qualify. See, there's no need. If I was a teacher, there's no need in me moving you on to this, from the first grade to the second grade if you couldn't do the first grade. Why? You're going to get even further behind. Because if you can or won't do this one, But see, that's not what we like to think. Well, I mean, putting somebody down here on that corner, I went through last week, you know, the problem that we was having was why I was having to go down there and somebody had to be down there. And we don't have that problem now. Most people, they know, you know, and we don't have as many people and all that. But if me putting you down there or somebody putting you down there on the corner is too low for you, you've just disqualified yourself. See, you can think you're too smart for something. You can think you're too high up for something. Or you don't see the need for this. Do you realize your kids don't need see the need of everything you tell them, but you see the need, and you don't always explain to them why? You realize God in leadership is exactly the same way? Exactly the same way. God gives us a little. Like I said, Scotty's first job was putting up the slides and all of that. See, we didn't get here because we're smart. We're not that smart. We didn't get here because we're wise. We didn't get here because we're gifted or greater than anybody else or anything. I guarantee you, if you go back and you look, we may have not even been God's first choice to come down here. I don't know. But I do know this. The only reason that we are here and in the place that we're at is because of the faithfulness in the little. That's all. I mean, I can't say it's great revelation or knowledge or anything like that, but do you understand? And we'll even read Scripture. I don't think we're going to get to it today. But he says, if you got a little revelation and you're faithful with that, you give it out, you do with it, you'll get more. But he that seems to have something and don't, even what he has gets taken away, the Bible says. Now, we have to do what God says and whoever is over us says. And listen, sometimes people think too that because leadership is wrong in some way. What do I mean by that? Over and over places in the Bible, you will see they was done wrong by their leadership and they remained faithful. Y'all remember the story of Daniel, right? They couldn't find anything against Daniel. Why? He's faithful. He's faithful to God. He's faithful to the king to do whatever he needs to do or whatever. So the only thing that they could find against him was they found out he's faithful to pray 3 times a day. So if we can change this, we can get him right here. What did Daniel do? He's still faithful to God to pray. In spite of, how many knows, the king being wrong. Now, he got tricked into that. But even those that meant to do him wrong or whatever, over and over you'll find out and say, God turned it around for his good. Did it feel good? Did it look good? Did it look like it was going to turn out? No. But how many knows, God, if you let him, God will turn things around in our lives, even though we may have to go through some hardship to get there. He says over in the New Testament, don't just work unto your bosses or employers or whatever as men pleasers when their eyes are on you or whatever. He says what? Do it unto God. Why? Because in my heart. That's how come Scotty changed and quit throwing them doors everywhere and busting up the corners of them and all that and started putting them in this room and that room. Why? Because now faithfulness is in his heart and a love for God, and it makes him want to do right. See, you can only do that from flesh for so long. Some of us longer than others. I don't think it'd take me very long at all not to be doing it. Because I'm kind of like this. If God ain't helping me, whoo, it's not good. It's just not good. But anyway, I told you the story last week. We have a certain place that we go and eat most of the time. We like it there and all that. Usually we walk in the door if they have anything available. A waiter will come over there to us and say, would y'all like to sit at our table? Now, it ain't because they like us. It ain't because of my sweet personality. And tell you what it is. Don't you know? It's the money, honey. We're well known where we go and eat. Now, what would be a testimony if we walked in the door and they turned over there and said, I tell you right now, don't call them to your table because you won't get a dime and they will work your legs off. I had this one guy up there one time. I asked him, I had to get extra napkins. And I don't mean bring me a whole bundle of them, but Scotty is kind of messy. I mean, the man eats his dressing and it's dripping down. Anyway, we're not going into all that. So a lot of times I will ask them, when you come back, don't make a special trip. Could you bring us some extra napkins, please? And usually they'll say, oh, yeah, sure. Well, one night we had this guy wait on us, and I asked him just like that. And he said, no, you can't have no extra napkins. I said, well, then you can't have no tip. He said, blank, that changed real quick, didn't it? I said, sure did. You know what the next thing happened was, Johnny? My napkin's on the table. I'm not trying to be ugly. It just kind of come out. Well, how he knows, you should not be rude to your customers. If I ask you for a little bit of something, I should get it, right? Why? You're in a servant's position. The Bible calls every one of us servants, right? We're servants unto God. We're servants unto people and all that. But yeah, he got my napkins over there. And he did get his tip. Scotty is just sitting over going, he ain't saying nothing. Oh, mate. But the things in this world, and I said it last week, but I'm going to say it again. Our entire life, from the day that, well, actually even before we're born, I'm getting hot and this hair's getting on my nerves. But anyway, God gives us things. There's people that I have seen them. 3 years old, and I mean they are out drumming some of the best that I have seen. God-given talent and ability. God just put it in them, gave it to them. They don't even really know what they ain't been trained, had classes. It's just in them. Same thing with some people. Singing is their thing. They can sing like a mockingbird. Or Whitney Houston, huh, Richard? They can sing like Whitney, you know. Richard has a very pretty voice and all of that. There's things that God gives us at birth. Then there's other things that he gives us as we're faithful with the little. Now, you can use those things for the kingdom. Or you can use them for the world to make money, and some people have done that. But my point to it is, everything in my life is qualifying me or disqualifying me for now and later. And it's sad to say there's a lot of Christians, they only live for this life. When this life is, Bible says, like a vapor. You're like a puff of smoke, and you're gone. But the life that's coming, right? The life that's coming, that is forever and ever and to no end of that. But what I do today is qualify me or disqualify me for what's coming later. Let's look at, we got a few minutes. I think it is Matthew 25 I want to go to. And listen, this stuff also affects the anointing. He goes on down there and he says, if you can't be trusted with another man's, who's going to trust you with true riches? What do you think true riches are? Something of this life? No. True riches are eternal things. Why? They do not change. They are forever. So therefore, you could say it's going to affect the anointing. Right? See, a lot of people want to be rich, you know, and quote the scriptures and things like that. And it's good, and we should. Now, the Bible gives us things about that. Don't be high-minded. Be ready to distribute. All that. But God wants us to have money. God needs us to have money. Scotty, now I'm not more known for it or as known for it as what he is because most people don't know what I do. I am more inclined, more led to give to ministries most of the time. I have several ministries that I give to out of my own personal money. Every month. And I have been doing that for one of them, I guess 28 years, 27, 28 years, something like that. Scotty don't give as much to ministry. Scotty gives more to individual people. Now I give to individual people, but Scotty don't give as much to ministry or whatever. So that's why I'm not as known for it. I am a giver. But anyway, Scotty, sometimes he'll have people call him, hey, you got a vehicle or anything, you know, or no one's out, blah, blah, blah. No, not right now. I don't know where none's at. I can't think of nothing. They say, well, if you come across one and you're going to give it away, remember me. Why they tell him that? He has a reputation. God's people. All of us should have a pilaf row. I told Travis this the other day. You're coming in the door just as I'm getting to you, ain't you? Told him the other day he was saying something about money and all this stuff, you know, and he has a little savings or something other, you know, and all this stuff. I told him, I said, yeah, I said, you need to get you a peel-off row. He said, what's that? I said, you know, it's a big row. It's got hundreds on it, and you just peel it off to your mama. I don't need one of them, Teresa. Why am I saying that? We're supposed to be like God, right? God is a faithful giver. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave the very best that heaven had to offer. And all that he's given to us, all however long you've served him, he's been so good to us. He's been faithful even at times when it seemed like I was faithless. Right? So if we're going to be like him, what he said over there, he said, use money. But we're supposed to use money like a tool. Like a mechanic uses a screwdriver. What do I mean by that? He says, use unrighteous mammon or money, he says, to make friends. Right? See them people up there? They want us sitting at their table. Why? Money. It's not because we preach to them. I mean, I think it's probably the worst thing if you go and you have a meal or whatever, you know, and you leave a Christian track and you get up. You know probably what they're going to do with your track. Throw it in that plate and in the garbage with the rest of the scraps. Why? They don't care probably. Now, I'm not saying every time that's the case. I mean, you can be led to do some of that. But you put a little money in the track, or a lot of money in the track, I guarantee you that's not going in the garbage at least till they get that money out. Right? Scotty loves to open my envelopes I get from people. You know why? He opened my envelopes from y'all and thank y'all for the cards and the money and all that y'all do and everything. Yeah, he wants to see what's in there, Johnny. People are people, do you understand? And if we're going to be Christians and we're like God, we should be well known as givers. And you might say, well, I don't have anything to give. Well, let's go over to 2 Corinthians 9. A lot of people say this one. If you ain't a giver in your heart to start with, money's not going to make you a giver. No way. There's scripture in the Bible where this one guy, he had so much, and he's stingy as all get out. He canned all he could and all of that stuff. And the Bible says that he got more increase that year, and you know what he done? Bible says he tore down his barns and created bigger and hoarded up more. That's the scripture that we read a while ago, right? There is that scattereth, but yet he increases. And there is that withholds, and it tends to poverty. Why? Because the kingdom is nothing like the world. It is total opposite. But it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let me get over it right quick. Verse 6, he says, but this I say, he which soweth how? Sparingly shall reap how? Oh, I want to give a dollar and Jesus is going to bless me with 100,000. Can you see this is of the heart? He says, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap how? Bountifully. The Amplified Bible says there, it says, remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. So God's not in control of this. And he who sows generously, notice, that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. See, sometimes we like to just throw some money. Don't ever just throw your money in the basket when they pass it around for your tithes in your office. Don't ever do that. Why? Number one, you're not in faith. Right? Nothing in this kingdom should be done apart from faith because you can't please God without it. You're throwing the money in the basket without your faith is not pleasing God. But notice what he says there. I'm the one in control of that. But let's continue here. Verse 7. Every man according as he purposes in his what? So let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God does what? Loveth a cheerful giver. One that when it gets time for tithes and offerings or God says give away a car or a house or something, you say, woo, glory Jesus. I'm happy, Lord, to do it. The Amplified Bible says God won't do without them. He loves a cheerful giver so much he's just not going to do without one. That just pleases him so much. So if all you got right now is you feel like it's pray for somebody, pray for them. But believe God. We're fixing to read the scripture. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. That is wonderful. There's nothing you can't do, God says, without grace. I mean, without extra grace and extra grace. How much ever you need. He said he'll make grace abound to you. That you always having all sufficiency in all things. That's not just spiritual matters. May abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now that verse 10, if you'll use faith, I have done it and had no idea what I was doing at the time. All I knew was I felt God putting it on my heart to send this ministry $50 a month. I don't have $50 a month extra. I'm telling you, at this point, we're eating pinto beans three times a day because you can get a big bag cheap. And he speaks to my heart and says, I want you to start sending them $50 a month. So I didn't even know this scripture. You don't even have to know it. God knows it. And he told me that, and I said, okay, God. I said, I don't have $50 a month. I said, but God, if you'll give me $50 a month, I promise I will send it. Y'all know the story. Lo and behold, Scotty gets called to minister somewhere for the youth up there. They give him a $50 check, which never happens. He brings it in and says, woo, we can buy groceries. I says, no, we can't. And then I tell him the story of what God had said. Why am I saying all that? He says here, he ministers seed to who? Sowers. You can be a sower in your heart and you ain't even sowed or have anything to sow yet. Why? Because it's all of the heart. But if you will purpose in your heart to be a sower, God is faithful. He said, I'll give seed to the sower. Why? And if he gives seed and you sow it like you were supposed to, he'll give more seed. He says there he will increase. Let's finish reading this. We're going to have to stop. He says, now he that ministers seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of her righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Now, we got to stop because actually our time is a little bit up. This still didn't get as far as I thought it might, but anyway. If you don't go away with anything else of what I said, remember this, that God gives a little and sees what we do with it. And when you get a little and you're faithful to do what you know you're supposed to do with it and you don't let your own thinking get in the way or anything else, he'll give you something else. And then he'll give you something else. And then he'll give you something else until you get like Joyce Meyer. You know, she didn't start out with the worldwide ministry she's got now. But she was faithful in her short shorts and puffing on them cigarettes in her little Bible study. Y'all remember that story? And griping about all the toilet paper everybody's using. But she was faithful to do what God called her to do at the time. And he raised her up. I got to stop because time is up. Does anybody have any comments?